and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Potato Pot here. And this one, this is going to be a very interesting one. And for those of you out there that aren't sure of what the metaverse is, this is going to be a very eye-opening episode. At least I think it is, to really how big that this can be over time. So the past week, I've basically spent the majority of my time diving into this, researching it, going over it, because the metaverse is something I was interested in before. And after really, really diving into it, it's something that I'm even more interested in now. I'll just leave it at that. I think this is, I'll say right up front, I think this is a great investing opportunity. Obviously, it might take a little bit of time to see an ROI from this investment, but at the end of the day, it's hard to deny as you dig into it more and more that this is something that could really, really blow up over the coming years, coming decades, and yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. So we're going to go over in this episode, we're going to go over what exactly the metaverse is. We're going to be going over where it's going. And we're going to be going over some pros and cons that are going to come with the metaverse when it eventually comes. Because in my opinion, we're going to get to this. People think it's not going to be anything. I think it's already too late and I already think it's a done deal. So hopefully you guys get some value out of this. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. Hopefully this opens your mind a little bit as to how big this opportunity could be as an investment or just what the future is going to look like in some way, shape, or form. So if you do, make sure to drop a like on the video. That's all I ask. It gives me a huge, huge, helps me out in a big, big way. So without further ado, let's get right into it here. So starting off with what is the metaverse, this is probably going to be the shortest section out of all of them, I would imagine. And the metaverse, the mentions of the metaverse have gone up over 135% since quarter four of 2021. Obviously, you probably have an idea of what happened in quarter four of 2021. That's when Facebook came out and decided they were going to rename the company Meta Platforms instead of Facebook. So that's really what spiked this whole interest from, I guess, the majority of retail society, I guess you could call it. I don't even know that's a term, but I'm going to trademark that. Basically, what the metaverse is, it's a 3D virtual network, in theory. And this name came from a movie in 1992, or excuse me, a fiction novel in 1992 called Snow Crashed, which defined the metaverse as a virtual world. Some people might also define the metaverse as Web 3.0. Web 1.0, early stage of the internet. I'm talking a one-page website like how Yahoo looked way back in the day when the internet first became a thing. Web 2.0, that's the current period. So Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, I guess, Instagram, the hundreds of Google pages whenever you search something. That is Web 2.0. Web 3.0, that is the metaverse. People also like to look at it as the fourth wave of computers, the first being mainframe computing, the second being personal computing, and the third being mobile computing, and then obviously the fourth wave being the metaverse itself. I know I'm just kind of going on a little bit of a rant here, kind of really trying to put this into perspective for you guys, but this is going to get really interesting here really, really fast. So another way people look at the metaverse is being within the computer rather than accessing the computer itself. Another way, the combination of VR and AR and video where users are live in a digital universe. And in the metaverse, you're going to be able to take virtual items like clothes, cars, all these different things from one platform to another. You'll be able to take those things to different houses. You'll be able to take those things to different sites, different locations per se. And you're going to be able to immerse all of this stuff in this virtual world and interact with other people and also other objects. And in the metaverse, you're going to be able to host tens, hundreds, and one day maybe even thousands of people. So you could very well have a house in the metaverse and you could have everyone meet up there for drinks, for a party, whatever the case may be, but no one's actually leaving their house in reality. They're all meeting at their home in the metaverse. And this is what I mean when I say it's already too late. If you look at really what society has already gone through, the metaverse, such as things like Xbox Live, Microsoft Teams, Fortnite, etc., all these things, it's really going to expand. It's an expansion of social interaction. And we're already in the metaverse in the very basic stages, which people don't even realize that this virtual reality is already put together, essentially. We're just expanding on that idea. But then to expand on that a little bit more to where we already are in the metaverse, there's also Facebook Horizon Workrooms that are already out there right now, which essentially brings everyone together in a single room in a virtual environment. If that didn't make any sense, picture online avatars all together in the same room. I know everyone's used Microsoft Teams at one point or another that's watching this video. So it's essentially something like that. So basically, to make it really, really simple in summary, because that was a little bit all over the place, I feel like. What the metaverse is, it's a virtual universe, virtual reality, where you can meet with everyone. You can do all the things that you would do in reality, like go out to eat, go shopping, go to the mall, do all of these different things that you would do in reality on, say, a Saturday or a day after work or whatever the case may be. You can do these with other people whenever you want from your house. All you have to do is submerge yourself into this virtual reality. Now, starting off with that, I feel like people are going to hear that, and I feel like it's going to be hard for people to grasp and people to get a real true understanding of how this can possibly be a really big thing. And I can completely understand that 110%. But you also got to remember, go back, say, 30 years or so. If you go back 30 years and you told someone that all transactions are basically going to be done online, I don't know if that person would believe you. Like, think of something like PayPal, for example. PayPal, one of the most basic transactions there are, one of the basic online transactions there are out there. Like, almost every single person uses PayPal. Almost every single person uses Venmo. If I can't send someone money through Venmo or Cash App or some sort of electronic payment, I legitimately tell them it might be a little bit before you can get it, because I don't know when the next time I'm going to see you is. I don't know when the next time I'm going to go to the bank is. Basically, if you don't have that, it's your loss, as awful as that sounds. But if you had told someone 30 years ago, like, yeah, just put all your bank account information online, and then we'll just verify you via your social security number to make sure this is actually your account and this is your stuff, that person would have laughed you out of the room and said, there is no way that that is possible. That will never, ever happen. And I think that goes in line with the metaverse a little bit here. And the way you got to think of things is, in the United States of America, innovation is key. If innovation stopped, then the entire economy would be in a lot of trouble. It would definitely not turn out for the best. That's all I'm going to say about that right there. So one way or the other, there is going to be some sort of innovation pertaining to the internet, because there's no way we're going to be in the year 2050 and things are going to look exactly the same as they are today. Look at the iPhone, for example. When the first iPhone came out, I vividly remember, I think I might have been in middle school when the first iPhone came out. And I vividly remember someone on my bus had it. And I said, that is the dumbest thing ever. Why would anyone want an iPhone? It's so easy to crack. I don't want to type on that screen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I know people that if you don't have an iPhone, you can't even be put in a group chat, like, because they don't want to see the green. You need to have an iPhone if you want to be in a group chat. It was a complete revolution. Innovation, iPhones got better from iPhone 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 to 11 to et cetera, et cetera. They continued to get better, and Apple continued to innovate and make the product better and more fine-tuned. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the internet here. And I was talking with a friend about this the other day, going back to the Xbox Live, Microsoft Teams. It's already too late. People are way too submerged in social media. They're way too submerged in Facebook. They're way too submerged in Instagram. They're way too submerged in the internet. And there's some stats I'm going to read off here in a little bit about why exactly it's too late, and it's really going to put a lot into perspective for you. But let's move on to the second section here. So where is it going? Where is the metaverse actually going to go? I've already said my opinion on it. I think it's going to be a very big thing. I think it's a very relevant thing. I think it's a very prevalent thing. Where is it actually going to go, though, from an unbiased, I guess, practical perspective? And the answer is to the moon. No, just kidding. Even though it actually very well could go to the moon and see some moon action here. But on a superficial level, the first thing that comes to mind. So it's going to give content creators, all those people you watch on YouTube, it's going to give them a way to interact with their audiences in a completely new, different way. I know some YouTubers, what they do is they might have a meetup if they have a large enough following. They might say, hey, you know, I'm going to be at XYZ location in New York. If anyone's around and wants to come down, I'll be there March 18th, 2022, and just come see me. We can hang out, whatever the case may be. And they'll have lines of people that show up. I don't think that's as popular anymore, because if you really have a big following, it might be a little bit difficult to organize all those people without actually having a specific venue. But it's something that I've seen in the past at different gyms and stuff. Now, let's say in this virtual reality, this person who has this following, this content creator who has this following, decides, hey, anyone who wants to come for a meetup, you know, $5, and I'm going to be here for 2 hours and we can all just sit and hang out. That generates another source of revenue for them. And it's something that's very realistic. If someone says, I'm going to be at virtual Roger Williams Park in the parking lot for 2 hours, and all you have to do is just pay $5 to the admission guy at the door, and you can come in, you can see me, I'll be there, I'll make sure to, you know, get everyone that pays, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people would be willing to do that. Now, I don't think a lot of people, when we get to, we're already in the early stages of the metaphors, but we get a little bit more into it and we get to the point where kind of like where Tesla is right now, where Tesla's not overly uncommon. Like you see Teslas wherever you go, but it's not like every single person owns a Tesla. When we get to that point with metaverse technology and Oculus, let's say, I don't know how many people are going to be willing to go out and buy these headsets just to meet their favorite content creator in a virtual world. But if we get to the point, say in 2030, when that technology is used for a lot more things besides video games, like work and like social life, which we're going to get to in a little bit, which is going to be very eye-opening and very interesting, then I think that's when we could see something like that. And what this does for content creators is the profit margins are absolutely insane. I don't know exactly how this would work and exactly how this would be regulated in the metaverse, but you wouldn't have to really pay too much money. You wouldn't have to rent out a space or anything like that to have this meetup. You could essentially do it in a random park, and you would bring in a lot more people because not as many people would have to travel to go see you. Like, for example, if you had a meetup in Roger Williams Park in Rhode Island, and you had a really big following, you had to have all these people fly in, you had to have all these people coordinate hotels just to come see you for a 2 hour period. It might not generate as much traffic as you would like. But with the metaverse, it could be like, I'm free tonight, I might as well just throw these headphones on and just go see what's going on. Very, very insane profit margins, and it can very, very well, or it could very well flip a switch and just become insane. Revenue-wise, it could 10x what you could do in real life. And a lot of people think this is just Facebook that's digging into this. A lot of people think this is Facebook's thing. This is what Facebook wants to do. And this isn't what, like, anyone else does. Everyone else does not have a hand in this. That is not the case at all by any means. It's actually a very, very false stereotype, believe it or not. Companies are pouring billions of dollars into this. And a lot of people think that this is just Facebook's thing. And this is something that Facebook's creating. That is not true by any stretch of the imagination. It actually blows my mind how much of a false stereotype that is. It's a very strong argument that Facebook could be at the front of the metaverse, but it's a very false argument that Facebook is the only one driving the car here. There's several cars driving in the high speed lane with this. Many companies are pouring billions of dollars into this. Microsoft recently acquired Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. Because of the metaverse. That's what they said in their conference call. Deal will provide building blocks for the metaverse. That was the exact quote in the call. In addition to that, there's also Snapchat that's coming out with VR glasses. That actually, they look completely awful. But, you know, like I said, going back to the iPhone 3 is laughable compared to the iPhone 11, 12, 13. There's also Qualcomm, who's building a bridge between phones and smart glasses. That's very interesting. I read a lot on that. Roblox also recently teamed up with Vans, so they can have a virtual skateboarding park and have a partnership through that. Nike is preparing to sell virtual sneakers in the metaverse. Walmart even stepped into the metaverse. Walmart even said they're going to start selling virtual goods so that that way they can be competitive in the metaverse. And people like Cathie Wood are saying this is a $1 trillion opportunity, which is very unique because a lot of people have been hating on Cathie Wood a lot because her ETF's been taking a very, very big, big hit. I actually like what she's doing. I like how she has that unconventional opinion, that unconventional wisdom. And a lot of what she's doing, I agree with and I do myself, but that's besides the point. That's a completely different video. I guess I could make a video on that next. But personally, I really feel like this is way, way more than a $1 trillion opportunity. So in 2020, the metaverse itself was valued at just under $22 billion, $21.91 billion, right? It's projected to have a, almost a 42% compound annual growth rate, 41.7 until 2030. That would make this metaverse, the metaverse, worth over $7 trillion. $7 trillion. Imagine if you can even capture 5% of the metaverse, you would turn an insane ROI for your investors, an absolutely insane ROI. But why do I feel like it's too late? Let's talk about that for a minute. 3 out of 10 adults say they are constantly online. That's up from 21% in 2015. I personally feel like that number is going to continue to increase, and I don't see it stopping because once people get roped into this, people don't stop. They're addicted. They constantly want to see what others are doing. It reminds me of caffeine and coffee. Once you start drinking coffee, it's very, very hard to get off it. I know because I'm doing it right now. It's very, very, very hard. One, because it gives you that dopamine hit. Two, because it's a habit. Three, just because it's hard. 85% of Americans go online on a daily basis. So even if you're not one of those people that are constantly online, constantly Googling things, constantly on Instagram, constantly on Facebook, how many times do you not use the internet a single day? When was the last time you didn't go online? When was the last time you didn't go on Google, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok? When was the last time you didn't go on all of these things for a single day? For one day, 24 hours. When was the last time? Think about that. I don't know when mine was. I know I can go several days without going on social media. I really like doing that. I think more people should try doing that. But that's besides the point. When was the last time? 48% go online several times a day. Same questions here, basically. When was the last time you didn't go on the internet several times in a day? So if you check your email twice, you go on gmail.com, that's twice. You check your email and go on Facebook, that's twice. It's very, very easy. Some people go on the internet twice before they even get out of bed in the morning. It's absolutely insane. Only 7% of adults, 7%, say they don't use the internet at all. And this might sound a little gloomy here, but I would imagine that is the front end of the baby boomer generation, which unfortunately might not be around too much longer. Once, as those continue to pass away and pass on, I would imagine that this number is going to go down more and more. And if that doesn't happen and they don't continue to pass on and they actually stick around for a while, first off, hooray, good for them. You keep on keeping on, brother man. But second of all, more and more people are going to try to get involved in the internet. They're actually going to try. And the reason is because they're going to have kids. They're going to have grandkids who are busy that they can't keep in contact with all the time. And they realize that if they get on social media and they get on the internet, it's much easier to stay in touch with them. Something else that's interesting, one more statistic I want to read off here before we get into the pros and cons of the metaverse here. So, Oculus sales. For those of you that don't know, Facebook owns Oculus, or Meta owns Oculus now. I'm going to butcher that for the rest of eternity. In 2021, they had $4 billion in sales. $4 billion with Oculus. They're projected to have a 69% compound annual growth rate. They're projected to do $36 billion dollars in sales by 2025. 36 billion by 2025. that is going to escalate fast. And believe me, what you see from 2021 to 2025, it's going to be so much more from 2025 to 2030. As the technology continues to come out, as the technology becomes easier to make, as the metaverse becomes more of a well-known thing and a more established thing and a more condoned thing in our society, those numbers are going to absolutely skyrocket, in my opinion. Now, we'll start off with the pros here in this third section. We're going to do the pros, and then I do have a couple of in-between ones I didn't want to dedicate to a specific pro or con. They're kind of just in the middle. They're very interesting, and I could probably make a whole video just on those couple of things. But we're going to start off with the pros here. So first off, the metaverse could easily be better for families. I think that's pretty easy to break down and look at, because say some people have a house, right? They have a family, they have a house, and they live in Rhode Island, let's say. Well, unfortunately, the father of that family has a job in Virginia, but his kids are maybe in 10, 11 range. He doesn't want to pick up the family and move, but this job in Virginia is a really good job. So he only comes home on the weekends, or he just comes home once a month or once every couple of weeks, because it's expensive to go back and forth to Virginia. So what he ends up doing is, in the metaverse, every single night, he can virtually tap in and have dinner with his family. He can see what his kids are doing. He can talk in person about how school was, what's going on with their friends, all of these things. Very interesting. That's always been something I've wondered how this thing would play out with and how helpful this thing would be. I think that might be one of the best benefits of the metaverse, just being able to spend more time with your family if you have a situation like that. Another thing, shopping would be much easier, way easier than it is today. So although we can get almost anything on Amazon whenever we want, essentially, there are still some things people want to go down to the store for. I know personally, I most of the time like to try on shoes, I like to try on shirts, I like to try on clothes before I buy them, just to make sure they fit, they're not too big or too small or whatever the case may be. Imagine if you could put on a headset, go down to the store, go down to Kohl's, go down to the mall, whatever the case may be, and you could just try on these clothes, these shoes, and then you say, okay, they fit, and then take your headset off and go order them on Amazon. Imagine if it ever got to that point. That would save a lot of time, and that would be a big convenience for a lot of people. Now, imagine, this is way down the road, but this is something I was thinking of the other day. Imagine if they had some sort of point system or some sort of cash back system. Like, for example, the Amazon credit card, which I think every single person should really own, because if you don't buy 90% of the stuff you buy on Amazon, then I don't really know what to say, because that's what I do. But with the cashback Amazon card, you save 5%, or the Amazon Prime card, you save 5% on everything you buy on Amazon. So it's essentially, I could go down to the store and buy this, or I could just go on my computer and buy it and have it at my house tomorrow and save 5%. It just seems like a no-brainer to me, unless it's something you urgently need, like batteries or maybe something around that house or whatever the case may be, you need it that day. It just makes sense to me to save the 5% and buy it on Amazon and not have to waste all that time going down to the store. Imagine if they had some sort of point system like that, where you could buy something through the metaverse and get 5% cash back or whatever the case may be. That would be extremely, extremely interesting. Something else I think it could also be good for, I think it could be really good for buying and selling houses. So especially in this day and age where people can work from anywhere, a lot of companies are moving towards online remote work for a lot of different reasons. Saves the company money, keeps employees happier, employees have more time, employees focus on the work more rather than their hour commute or rather than the 30 minutes they had to spend in traffic that day. I've talked about that several different times. I don't feel the need to go too much into detail about it, but you get the point. You get the gist of it right there. With the ability to work from anywhere, some people want to move. Some people might not like living in sub 60 degree weather for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months of the year. Some people might not like snow. Some people might not like the wintertime. You get the point. Some people want to pick up and move and go elsewhere, and they have that luxury of working from anywhere. But the problem is, when you want to move to a different state, it's a very big hassle to go to a different state and see different properties all the time and go down there and physically see them in person. It really is a really big inconvenience because either you got to drive or you got to book a flight, or there's all these different complications that could come up. You got to take time off of work to move, et cetera, et cetera. What if you could look at houses in different states just by putting on a headset? Like, what if you could just put on your headset and there's this virtual you in, say you live in Rhode Island, there's this virtual you in California just walking through this house, going over all the different ins and outs of it, deciding if you wanted to buy it. And then if you really like it and you really want to dot your I's and cross your T's, you could take a flight out there and look at it even further in depth and look at it more, as opposed to potentially booking a flight, going to look at a house or a couple of houses and realize you just struck out and you just wasted a bunch of time because you didn't like what you saw. That could be extremely, extremely interesting. Another thing, and this is already kind of moving on this track with the virtual learning, but I guess it could potentially accelerate it a little bit, is what about snow days for school? Imagine if kids could just put on their headsets and they just appear in a classroom, in a virtual classroom. They can do all the same things. They can go over all the same material, do all of those things from their own home, sitting at any random desk or sitting on their couch or whatever the case may be. Something else that I think is very interesting that it could do is I think it could eliminate, or at least reduce, drinking and driving to an aspect. Imagine if you just wanted to go to some sort of bar, or you wanted to go to a friend's house and have a couple drinks, and you could just do that from sitting at home just by putting on your headset. Absolutely insane, but you could have as much to drink as you wanted. You wouldn't have to worry about getting home after, especially if you live in an area where Uber maybe isn't that big or Lyft maybe isn't that large at the time, because I know that feeling, and it can be frustrating if people just say rely on that, but that's besides the point. That actually doesn't even matter. But I think it might actually reduce those numbers a little bit as well. Very interesting to see what would happen with that. Then there's also things like training in the metaverse, better for like hands-on industries, like maybe if you're going to be some sort of pilot, or if you're going to be, I don't know, a fireman or a welder, I don't know, something like that where you really work with your hands, you really have to be like have your stuff in order, up to snuff, let's say. I think that would be very, very interesting. Then there's also the argument that work would start to feel like play. So let's say you have a meeting in the metaverse. You work from home and you have this meeting in the metaverse today. Imagine if your boss just said, today we are going to have our meeting in China, and you all go meet in China. And then next week you're going to go meet in Japan and then Australia. And then we're going to have lunch at this famous restaurant in Europe, and et cetera, et cetera. How interesting would that be? Then the last big pro on this list, which actually I think this is the biggest one on this list, and that's kind of why I saved it for last, is electromyography technology. So basically, to really simplify what this is, this technology makes it so you don't even have to move your arms or legs or whatever the case may be, your head. So in the metaverse, you also move your arms or legs or anything like that. What this technology does is you can just think what you want to do, and your body in the metaverse will do it. So say I'm sitting just like this. I'm sitting straight up for anyone that's listening to this on Spotify, and I decide I think I want my right arm to go up. In the metaverse, my right arm would go up, and I wouldn't even have to go like this, raise my right arm. I could just stay exactly like this straight up, and in the metaverse, my arm would go up. And I think this would be really, really interesting and really, really cool for people that have disabilities, people that are in wheelchairs, people that are paralyzed, people that can't walk, people that have difficulty moving. I think that would be awesome if they could do that and experience that and what it's like to almost live how they see a lot of people live in their day-to-day lives. So kind of moving on to the in-between here. Again, some of these are going to be, you're going to swing one way, some you're going to swing the other way. That's why I just left them in between. We're not going to go over them too in-depth here. We're just going to kind of give a couple of bullet points. First one, the gap between the rich and the poor is going to grow. And why is that? Well, this is an innovative phase. This is an innovative time. People are going to find a way to monetize it. Like business owners, people that have more of a producer mindset, they're going to find a way to make money off this, whether it's content creators or whether there's a product in the metaverse. They're going to find a way to make money, as opposed to a lot of people are just going to consume all this content, consume all this novelty, and not make any money off it. So you will most likely, in my opinion, see that gap grow just because this is new. Same thing with the iPhone. When the iPhone came out, some people created apps. It's going to be the same exact thing with this. When social media came out, some people created online businesses and were able to expand through advertising and also start a business. So I think you're going to definitely see that gap grow, but hey, let's just see what happens. Another thing, safe bubbles. So this is in between because the safe bubbles are good. And basically what they are, for anyone that don't know what the safe bubbles are, is in Facebook's Horizon Worlds, there's this thing where, I don't know if it's if you push a button or exactly how it works or whatever the case may be, but when you're in the safe bubble, no one can talk to you, no one can touch you, you can't talk to anyone, you can't touch anyone. And while this is good in the sense of if you're obviously being attacked in some sort of way, you can essentially just end it whenever you want. But at the same time, imagine if you're just having a conversation with someone and you just decide, I'm done with this conversation, safe bubble. It won't teach you how to have conversation with people, and it really won't teach you to handle adversity that well. And where society is going and where it's been going over the past couple of years, I don't see this helping people learning how to have conversations with each other. But you know what? That's just me. There is also, like I said, the argument to it of if you're being attacked, you can get out of it whenever you want. But we're just going to have to see how that plays out. And then the last one done on that we have on this little side note, this in-between list here, is the environment. So off the jump, the first thing I thought of was this would be good for the environment. That's where my initial mind went before I started researching this a little bit, because it reduces the need for travel. You know, less traffic, less traveling, less pollution, less global warming, etc., etc. That's what I initially thought of, and that's what some people think of as well. But there's also a counter argument to that, because virtual reality technology, it's reliant on cloud services. So there was one study done in the UK that training a single AI model, a single artificial intelligence model, can generate roughly 626,000 pounds of carbon dioxide. 626,000 pounds. That's approximately five times more than the lifetime of an average ICE vehicle. The average ICE vehicle. Now, Facebook has committed to achieve net zero emissions across the whole company by 2030. So it's going to be interesting how that plays out with that and how they do that. Again, I don't know. This one especially, it's directly in the middle. The gap between the rich and the poor, that's going to depend on how you feel about that. Safe bubbles, that's going to depend on how you feel about that. This is directly in the middle, where I don't know if there's a good argument either way, on either side. So we're just going to have to see what happens with that. Let's move on to the cons here before we wrap up, because there are a lot of cons with this. And I personally am very scared of the metaverse. I think while it could do some good things for the workforce, while it could do some good things for people that have disabilities, while it could provide some convenience, I don't think it's the best thing for society based on where things have been going lately over the past couple of years. So let's get into that. First of all, physical activity is going to be even more decreased. Physical inactivity is the fourth leading risk factor for mortality. Those that are inactive, they have a 20 to 30% increased mortality rate compared to those who exercise for 30 minutes a day. Just 30 minutes. That could be a walk in the morning. That could be 30 minutes at the gym. It's not that hard to get 30 minutes of exercise in a day or most days. Again, I don't know your situation. I don't know. Maybe there is some crazy situation. I don't know. I am just a random guy on the internet. And what the metaverse is going to do, it's going to make people not want to continue to do this. So why do people exercise? Well, a lot of people like to exercise. A lot of people like to work out because A, it's healthy. B, it keeps them in shape. And C, it makes them look good. You know, as long as you're eating right and you're constantly exercise, you're constantly pushing yourself in the gym, you're running, whatever type of exercise you're doing, you're most likely going to look pretty good as long as you're doing these things. In the metaverse, you can just adjust your avatar to make yourself more muscular. So that could definitely be a factor where people are unmotivated to continue to work out because they don't need to look good because they don't really leave the house ever and they just need their avatar to look good. That's all that matters because that's all they go out as. Another thing, lack of sunlight. So I've done a lot of research on this and I've talked about this a couple of different times on the channel, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but sunlight is very, very, very important. Sunlight helps extremely with mental health. It helps extremely with anxiety, helps extremely with depression. I've listened to a lot of podcasts from Andrew Huberman talking about sunlight and how important it is. Everyone should be getting sunlight. Most like or try to get sunlight probably about an hour after they wake up. It only takes about a 10-minute walk. I personally like to do a little bit more than that. I like to do a 30, 45-minute walk to get a little more exercise in the morning. In the summertime, when it's a little bit warmer out, I'll usually flip that for a run. But sunlight's very important. And what the metaverse is going to do, it's going to limit the amount of exposure to sunlight because people aren't going to want to go outside as much. People are just going to want to stay inside and be on their headsets. So, yeah. The third one, which I'm actually not going to go too much into detail about either because it's honestly really, really sketchy, and I think it could be very controversial. Companies could have all your information. Everything that's said, everything that's done in the metaverse, everything that's looked at in the metaverse, these companies are going to have all your information. There's not going to be any privacy. Everything you say, everything you hear, is going to be recorded, is going to be kept track of, everything in the metaverse. It's kind of like right now how Facebook has the rights to look at everything you're interested in, everything you search, same with Google. Everything you search, they have the rights to look at those things, keep track of those things, all these different things. Same with Apple. They have these rights. That sketches me out in the metaverse, that people can get any information on you, anything you say, anything you do, anything you think of in the metaverse, and they can keep track of it and keep a log of it and go back to it. That sketches me out in a very, very big way. Building off of that, I feel like the metaverse is going to force people to become a little bit more fixed-minded. Because think of how Instagram and Facebook works. So Instagram, Facebook, Google, they push these things out to you that you're interested in. If you're interested in Hawaiian vacations, Facebook's going to, you know, punch out ads on Hawaiian vacations. If you're into the Boston Celtics, Facebook's going to advertise things related to the Celtics tickets. And the thing is, now there's still ways where you can see the other side of things. And obviously that goes for more controversial topics, like maybe like politics. It's not too many people are having some sort of intense debate on the Boston Celtics about whether they're a basketball team or not, or whatever the case may be. But let's take politics for example. If you're a Republican, you might only see in the metaverse Republican style advertisement, Republican things, only right-wing things you will see. Same thing if you're from the left wing. You will only see left wing things. You won't see anything else because that's all they're going to show you, because that's all they want to show you. They only will do what they can show you to make money. And the thing is, you're going to see so many different ads on these things. You're going to see so many different things pertaining to this one style of thinking. No one's going to be able to have a genuine conversation and discuss different viewpoints and different ideas. It's just not going to happen. It's absolutely mind-blowing because it's already tough enough in society to have these conversations. Never mind if you fast forward 10 years down the road, it's going to be legitimately impossible because no one's even going to see the other side of the coin. No one's even going to be aware of it. I think today people are aware of it. They just ignore it. Or they just decide not to research it, but they can. In the future, it's not even going to be a thought. It's going to be a complete afterthought to think of whatever someone else is thinking. And this is obviously just going to lead to more difficulties communicating with people. Even now, even in today's day with social media, it's very, very, very difficult for people to communicate with one another. Think of it this way. Go back 20 years ago. if you were single and trying to meet someone 20 years ago, what did you have to do? You had to go meet them in person. You had to go through mutual friends. You had to go talk to someone at a coffee shop. You had to go talk to someone at a bookstore, you know, co-ed sports team, whatever the case may be. You had to go out and find someone. Now there's just dating apps. Like, you don't go up to people in person anymore. You just get on these dating apps. In addition to that, it's the same exact thing when it comes to just talking to people in general. Before, like 20 years ago, you walk down the street, it was like, hey, how's it going? How you doing today? Do you live in this neighborhood? Et cetera, et cetera. Now, people take out their phones and bury their nose in them. They bury their nose in Instagram because they're comfortable with that and they don't have any sort of conversations with anyone that they don't know, and they just walk by each other. I personally think that's extremely sad. I always try to say hi to people when I walk by them, especially if there's no one else around. I mean, if it's a busy mall or at a game or something, that's a little bit different. But, you know, if I'm on the street running, I'll always make eye contact. I'll always say hi. You know, if I go get a coffee or I go out to eat or whatever the case may be, I'll always make conversation with the waitress. I'll always try to say, hey, how's it going, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just not how society is. And I think the metaverse is going to make that a lot worse. Another con, the thing is with the metaverse, you're going to have to use it because it's going to be almost impossible to build relationships outside of the metaverse. Look at, again, we'll go back to the PayPal and the Venmo example. When that first came out, no one thought that anyone, any general person in society would think that they're going to put their bank account information, their social security number here, and confirm who they are. No one ever thought they would do that. Now, everyone does that. Every single person does that. And it's a very common thing. And if you don't have it, it's like, I don't understand. Why don't you have that? And basically, what all of that is going to do, the communication, the only seeing things that you agree with, not seeing the other side of the coin, having trouble building relationships outside of the metaverse, it's really going to limit the growth in society for a lot of reasons. All those that I just named, but also people are never going to be alone. People won't understand how it feels to be alone and really be with their thoughts. I know some people, they'll be in different houses and they'll just sit on FaceTime with each other and they'll, I don't know, play with their coloring books, do word search puzzles. They won't even say anything to each other. They'll just be on FaceTime. It blows my mind how someone could do that. It blows my mind. So if you're never alone and you are alone, that can lead to very, very increased levels of anxiety and depression, which I think humanity and society is almost destined for, and I think it's definitely going to happen. And it's going to also increase the division among people, I feel like, because I feel like people are going to have more means. They're going to have more reasons to get offended because there won't be as many limiting factors to seeing someone. Now it's like, hey, do you want to come to this place? Oh, I got plans over here. I'm doing that. I don't think I'll be able to make it, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's like, well, why can't you just put on your headphones? Why can't you just put on your mask and just come hang out? Why can't you do that? Think about that. Think about how much it could really divide relationships in society and how, I guess, almost petty society could become. And the last thing that I really want to talk about here, because this episode is already getting kind of long, I feel like the metaverse is going to be like alcohol. I feel like it's going to be an escape from reality. I think it's going to be something that makes people feel better temporarily, but doesn't make people feel better for an extended period of time. There's different ways to do that, and alcohol is not one of them. So to summarize my thoughts here, I think the metaverse is here. I think it's here to stay. I think as the technology becomes easier to make, as the technology gets bigger, it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to be much, much bigger than what people are taking it out to be right now. I 110% believe that the metaverse is going to be humongous. And you have to remember, we talked about the money that companies are pouring into this earlier in this episode. If you don't think the metaverse is going to become anything, you're betting against all of these people, that are pouring billions of dollars into this. You're betting against Microsoft, you're betting against Dropbox, you're betting against Facebook, you're betting against Roblox, you're betting against so many companies that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars. You don't think that maybe they're seeing something that you're not? You don't think that maybe there's something there? Do a deep dive into this. And when you really dive deep into the technology and you really dive deep to where these dollar bills are going, I think you'll be shocked at where society is going and where the metaverse is going to go. But on the other side of things, while I do think the metaverse is here to stay, while I do think the metaverse is the next big thing, while it excites me as an investment opportunity, it scares me for what's ahead for humanity and society, because I feel like society's been very divided the past couple of years. I think it's going to continue to become divided. And I think a lot of people have almost refused growth in a lot of ways, and they don't want to grow as a person. They want to be comfortable, and it leads to complacency. And I think that's going to continue. And I think this division among people, this lack of growth, it's all going to continue, and people are going to continue to become more fixed-minded. People aren't going to want to learn new things. People are only going to want to hear more and more of what they think and be more and more reassured, rather than trying to have a genuine conversation about what the other side of the page says. Hopefully I'm wrong about that part. I really do. I really hope I'm wrong. I really hope none of this comes out. It also scares me about the privacy side of things and how they'll have access to everything and anything they want with you. That scares me as well, but I really hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but we're just gonna have to wait and see. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe. As always, that is the best way to support this podcast if you want to do so in any way. Let me know if you're enjoying these episodes, and I will see you guys in the next episode.